I often wonder what God must have thought as he looked down on earth. Like what would Christmas through the eyes of God look like? We've been going through a series these last few weeks looking at what Christmas might look like through the eyes of Mary or Joseph or the wise men, the shepherds. And so we've been having this perspective. But what would Christmas look like through the eyes of God? Now, oftentimes when I think about God, I think about how enormously huge he is. He's so big and amazing that he made this world, and I'm so little and tiny and small. And so when we look at God, it's kind of like, wow, he just looks at this world and he can see all the blues and the greens, and he looks down and goes, wow, what an amazing world I've made. How good am I? You know, God could just be patting himself on the back and saying, wow, this universe, I've made it all. And does he even see us when he looks down? Because the world's so big that he looks and we're so tiny and small. And maybe as he's looking at the world, he might be looking at the side of the world that we're not even on. And so he might have to wait for a while before it like rotates around and then he sees Australia. But then Australia is so, you know, like on the world, he's looking, and we're just a little part of Australia here in Queensland, and we're even a smaller part in Ipswich, a smaller part here at Kruger. So how does a big God look at our world? Does it just look so big that he doesn't even recognize us? Well, the Bible tells us that God actually does not only care about the world, but he cares about individual people within the world. It's as though he can look right in and be with us here today, as well as being out in space in all of his enormity. And we read in the Bible about God's interactions with the world. In the book of Acts chapter 17, it says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is Lord of heaven and earth, and doesn't live in temples built by human hands, and he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything." So those of you who are thinking, oh, what can I get Jesus for Christmas? He doesn't need anything. Some people think, oh, God's just after my money. But surely God, who created everything, isn't really interested in little bits of paper with numbers on the corner. He's not interested in money, otherwise he would have made trees to create money, and he would have had money trees everywhere if he loved money so much. Or if God loved gold so much, he would have made mountains of gold. He would have just made all the mountains gold, and that would have made him happy. But actually, that's not what makes God happy. Now, when you're young, the excitement is often around what gifts we're going to get at Christmas and the things and the stuff. And oftentimes that can be our focus. Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. All those gifts around the Christmas tree. But as you get older, you might not believe this yet if you're still young, but as you get older, the more important thing is who sits around the Christmas tree rather than what's under it. And in the same way, God, who's super old, as much as gifts and presents are great, he's more interested in people, those who gather around. He's more interested in relationship than he is about stuff. The verse goes on and says, "Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us." The Bible's explaining this God who loves us so much that he wants relationship with us. That he loves people so much that he actually set the boundaries of their life, the length of their life, so that they would think, oh, I'm getting to the end of something. What does that mean? I've got to really start thinking about what happens after life. So life having its limitations forces us to think, is there an afterlife? And think about the God of the afterlife. God sets out the boundaries of this world so that we would look around the world and say, wow, this world is so amazing and intricate and good. How is this world made? Who made this world? Is it random chance or is there design? And so we can see the handprint of God on our world. And so God made it. God sets limitations, but he also loves us so much that he wanted relationship with us in such a way that he came down to live amongst us. And this is the part of God that we talk about at Christmas. This God who came down and was a baby in a manger, but this God who visited the world that we live in. This God who came to be the God with us. Now, I was thinking this week about Christmas and about Jesus, and kind of a metaphor, an idea, a thought, what might help us to think about who Jesus was. And what I thought was is that Jesus is kind of like a gift card. Now, has anyone received a gift card yet this Christmas? Anyone? Okay, a few hands going up. Yeah, I got a couple of gift cards. It's great. And so think about gift cards. Some people think, oh, I got a gift card. Maybe they didn't really think about me too much. And maybe, you know, for some people, especially if you went shopping and yours says Caltex on the front, that might be a sign that they just bought it on the way to give it to you. But, oh, sorry for those who've got Caltex gift cards. But I think gift cards are great because there is so many things that you could get someone for Christmas. How could you ever get them the perfect gift? So instead of getting a perfect gift, you can get them the perfect gift card. And you still have to think about where it comes from, the type of shop that your loved one would want to go shopping at. But the benefit of a Christmas gift card is that you can spend it on Boxing Day and get twice as much stuff for the same gift card. Huh? Am I right? Yeah. Now we're starting to think I should have bought that special someone a gift card. And you can know that whether he's a David Jones man or she's a Myers woman, maybe that person wants a special gift of an experience. How great would that be, an experience kind of gift card? Or maybe you can give them a gift card that gets them to go to a shop where they can eat food and you give them just enough money so they have to take someone else. Maybe you, huh? The gift card that gives back. So gift cards can be so useful. Actually, in Australia, apparently, the gift card industry is worth $2 billion. So that's a lot of money that people spend on gift cards at Christmas. Now, something I know about gift cards is that this is my gift card. This is a good example of a gift card. I have on here $4.08 left on my gift card. Now, I've spent a fair bit of money on this gift card. It's good, but I've got $4.08 left. See, what shops realize is that, if we give them the gift card, that means that they then go and spend it. But when you got $4.08 left on your gift card, there is nothing at JB Hi-Fi that's worth $4.08, right? So that means we're going to go and we're going to spend more at their shop. There's another side to gift cards that's a little bit sinister. And thankfully, I just read up, the Australian government has made it so you have to have a 3-year limit on gift cards, so you've got a bit longer to spend them. But who here, if you're honest, and we're in a church, so we're going to be, I'm sure, who has a gift card, not that you just got today, but who has a gift card with money still left on it? Might be in your wallet or in a purse or in that drawer at home that you put all the useful things. Yeah, a lot of us have gift cards with money still left on them. We have great gift cards, but we're not using them for what they're meant to be used for. And maybe that's a good challenge for you this Christmas, to make sure you use all the money up on your gift cards. But isn't it interesting that so often we have gift cards and we just put them in our pockets and we kind of forget about them? They're great things, we love it, but then we just forget. And one day you go into that drawer at home and you open it up and you go through it and you find the gift card and you go, oh, it's outside of it. It's expiry day. Isn't that the worst feeling ever? Oh, man. Because if you have a gift card, but if you don't use it, it's just a bit of plastic, right? It's just a little bit of plastic with a shop's logo on it. It's not really that useful. So if someone gives you a gift card today, and you're like, oh, wow, thanks so much, a $50 gift card. Oh, that's the best. This is the awesomest Christmas present. That's a good thing. In 2 months' time, if they say to you, oh, what did you use the gift card for? And you say, no, look, it's still here, a $50 gift card, it's so great. They're going to be kind of thinking, oh, okay, well, obviously you missed the Boxing Day sale, so not particularly smart there, but okay, maybe he's saving up for something else. If you get to the next Christmas and they give you another gift card and you say, oh, actually, wow, snap, I've got two gift cards now for $50. This is great. I'm going to make a collection. That'll be the last gift card you get, right? Because gift cards are meant to be used. We're supposed to use these things. Otherwise, they're just plastic. Now, the interesting thing about Christmas is that 700 years before Jesus was even born, people were talking about this gift that was going to come into the world. The prophet, and a prophet is someone who God speaks to them, and then they speak to other people. A prophet whose name was Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, he said to the people, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah says there's going to be a son who's going to come. He's going to be God with us. It's going to be the most exciting gift the world has ever had. People at that time said, "Oh, great, awesome, Isaiah. I can't wait for that to happen." But a year went by, and people are kind of scratching their heads and saying, "Isaiah, when is Jesus going to come? Is it going to be soon? Or when is Emmanuel going to turn up? Is it soon? Because we've been waiting a while." 10 years go by. Suddenly people are like, "Oh man, that Isaiah, what a joke. He said he hears from God, but God's obviously not speaking to him because he said a virgin will give birth to a son and he'll be called Emmanuel, and no one here has been called Emmanuel." 100 years go by. All of those people who heard Isaiah have passed away. His writings were written down and we still have them today, but people were thinking, "Oh, is it ever going to come? Is this gift ever going to arrive?" 200 years, 300 years, 4, 5, 6, 700 years, people are thinking that that prophecy, that word from God must have been wrong. Maybe the gift isn't going to come. And from God's perspective, he saw something very different. He looked at the world and he saw that a great king called Alexander the Great would come through, and he would go and his armies would take over huge amounts of different countries, and the known world would be all brought together under one language. So suddenly the difficulties of people talking to each other were made a whole lot easier. Then, as the Greek Empire, Alexander's empire kind of went down, the Roman Empire rose up. And the Romans were really smart. They loved building things, and they built especially, does anyone know what they built lots of? Roads. They loved building roads, but they didn't like roads with curves. They just said, "There's a city over there, let's build a road and let's make it a straight one." So they made roads everywhere that connected things up. So you had the Greeks that brought a common language. You had the Romans who brought all this infrastructure. Suddenly, the world has been transformed because communication, everything was happening. Messages could get from one place to another really quickly. And in the midst of that, God, in all of his wisdom, came to live amongst us. When we think about what Christmas looks like through the eyes of God, Christmas is God lying in a manger, looking up at a broken world that needed a gift. And so we see through Jesus' life, he grew up to be a man. He lived a perfect life. He spoke about things that everyone was amazed at. He healed people. He calmed the storm. He did amazing things in his life. And so people were like, "Wow, this is God with us. This is amazing. This is God that comes and lives beside us. We like this guy, Jesus. We love it." And then Jesus went and he died on a cross. And we understand that now, that that was the sacrifice that we needed, because we've all done things that are wrong, that God's not happy with, that maybe we'd wish we didn't do, but we've done them. And so God said, "Well, I want to forgive you of that, so I want to bring Jesus." And his sacrifice, the things that he did on going to the cross, means that all the bad things we've done can be taken away. That's the good news. That's the gift card. That's Jesus coming and saying, "Oh, I should have not had that in there. Oh, there it is." That's Jesus kind of being the gift card saying, "Here you go. Here's my gift. you can be my child. All you need to do is take the gift card and redeem it. All you need to do is take the gift card and believe in it. Understand the story and say, okay, God, I want to be one of your children. I want to follow you. I want your forgiveness. And that's what Jesus came to do. That's what he came to be. Not just the God with us, but the God in us. And that's the difference that so many people will have this Christmas. So many people will know Jesus and have him like a gift card. He'll be just someone that they know about, but they'll end up getting to heaven and God will say, did you know me? And they'll say, I knew about you. And he'll say, but did you know me? Am I important inside your heart? And that's the difference. That's the shift that has to happen. It's not just something we know, but it's something we believe from the inside out. And that's what makes Christmas special, is when we use that gift that he's given us and we believe in him so that our lives are changed. We become one of his children. And that's what we would love to see everyone on earth know and love. That's what we would love to see everyone engage with. That's the Christmas message. Not just that Jesus came, but he came to come and change us and to be in us so that we can be called his children. We would love that to be your reality. If you want to talk to us more about that, if you want to pray to God and ask him to be that, then we would love to be a part of seeing that happen. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing one last joyous carol, because it is a thing of great joy when we change our hearts to become one with the creator of the universe. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so grateful for all that you've done for us. When we consider what it is to be God, to be huge, to be magnificent, and to come down in the form of a baby, we pray, Lord, that you might help us to be able to understand who you are, that we might think deeply about your message of truth and love, and that we might take that on to become your children, to ask for your forgiveness, to understand your grace, and to live in it every day of our lives. We pray that you might transform us so that this Christmas we might know you in a new and fresh and vibrant way, that you might change us to be your child and that we might call you our Father. We pray this, Jesus, in your holy and mighty and loving name. Amen.